Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Praise the Lord. Well, here we are, the first Sunday of a new year, 2016. Did any of you make resolutions for the new year? Not one of you. Well, I guess that kind of negates my next question, because I was going to ask how many you've already broken some of those resolutions. But maybe you've gotten wiser as you've gone on and realized that, hey, I'm probably going to break them anyway, so why make them? You know, and that's what happens with a lot of people when they make New Year's resolutions. One of the first things they do is break some of them. I quit making them years ago. You know, I have a minister friend, Dr. Ivan York, and he used to preach a New Year's sermon every year, and he could come up with some catchy titles for his New Year's messages, like More in 04 or something like that. And I thought, what can you do with 16? And I couldn't come up with nothing. In fact, I've never been blessed with the ability to come up with catchy titles, you know. A guy I went to college with, his dad was a pastor, and he preached a sermon one time. I've never forgot the title of the sermon. It was "The Pig That Got the Permanent Wave." Well, of course, that was the story of the prodigal son. When he decided to go back home to dad, he waved at those pigs goodbye, and it was a permanent wave. He was saying goodbye to them forever. And I could never do that. So sometimes my titles may not sound all that catchy or anything, but, you know, we live with what it is. You know, I do know, though, that in 2015, it was a year that most people remember some of the things that took place. We read the newspapers and we watch the news on television, or we read it on the internet, and we saw that mass murders took place around the world in 2015. And especially in the Middle East, we read reports of even young children being slaughtered in the name of a cause, and things of that nature taking place. Here in the U.S., we had the worst terror attack since 9/11 of 2001. Christianity is under attack. Christianity seems to offend a lot of people today. You can be any other religion that's out there and people don't get offended. But if you say you're a Christian, if you try to live a Christian life, if you try to do the things that the Bible teaches us to do, people get offended. We've had events in our daily walk. We've had events that change our lives sometimes. Things such as job losses. People have lost jobs. I have a friend, unless he's found a job in the last few days, been without work for over 16, 17 months, something like that. We've had sicknesses. Some of us here in this church have had sicknesses in our own personal lives or in the lives of our family. And we just, you know, really have had battles with some of that. Some have had deaths in the family. And that's always a hard thing when we have a death in the family. It affects different people in different ways. And I know people that had deaths in the family earlier in 2015, and they're still grieving today over that loss. And sometimes we read in the paper of the loss of someone, especially if we read of the loss of a child. And even though we may not know that person and they're in no ways connected to us, it still affects us to some extent, because we feel the sorrow and we feel some of the grief that those folks are going through. And I know My daughter was talking the other night that one of the young men who attends the school where she works went home and committed suicide a couple of days ago. And I could see the sorrow in her face as she was touched by that event that took place. We've heard predictions in 2015 of terrible things that were going to happen. Some of them happened, some of them didn't happen, some of them might still happen. And we've also had within the church world, we've had those that taught, well, these things are going to take place and they're going to take place at this certain time and this certain date. They didn't happen, and some people were saddened because of that, and some people thought, well, what are we going to do because what I thought was going to happen didn't take place. Other people live in fear. A lot of people live in fear today. Some people are afraid to even leave their house because of some of the events that are taking place. And we are seeing evil manifest, I think, more strongly than we have ever seen evil manifest in our world. Sometimes you're almost afraid to go out the door. And all of these things taking place. And sometimes we may look back in these things and what else is going to happen? What now? What's going to take place? What am I going to do? Some I know are praying that Jesus will come and he will come quickly because they want to get out of this mess. And I'd like for him to come myself, but I know that he's going to come at the time the Father says it's time for him to come. And I can't do anything about that except be ready for him to come. But I know I've also got to live like he's not going to come for some time and work, the Bible tells us, in the kingdom of God. But maybe we ask, what now? What are we going to do? And the Bible tells us a story of a man named Job. And I'm not going to read it verbatim out of the scripture necessarily. I may paraphrase some of it to save a little time because Job's not a really short book. But the Bible basically tells us there was a man in the land of Uz. His name was Job. And he was, according to the Bible, a man. Well, I think in the King James it says a perfect man. And the one translation, he said he was a man of perfect integrity. You don't find a lot of people of perfect integrity anymore. Integrity seems to be lacking in a lot of places. He was also a man who feared God. And sometimes we wonder about that word fear. We think fear, you mean you got to be trembling and you're afraid and you're scared of. But fearing God can have a respect for God. You respect him. I respect God with all the respect I can muster because I know he is a powerful God. I know he is the creator of all things. And I know he is the one that I owe my being and my life to. So Job feared God. In the King James, it says he eschewed evil. Some of the more modern translations say he turned away from evil. And we look around the world today, and we don't find a lot of people turning away from evil. It seems to be like they're more embracing evil. Oh, it's evil. Let's go to it. Some of the TV shows that are coming up seem to glorify evil. There's a new TV show that's being advertised on one of the major networks, and I don't remember which one, but it's called Lucifer. And basically what the whole series is about is the devil gets tired of doing what he's been doing, so he takes human form and he joins the, I think it's the Los Angeles Police Department to help fight crime. You know, some stuff like that, it's just insane almost. Some of the stuff that's being put in the minds of people. And maybe some of the older folks, they can reject it easily, but some of the younger folks, they embrace it. And they want to live it. Like when they had all the vampire TV shows on, young people wanted to be vampires. I read an article, I think it was either yesterday or maybe today, this morning, about there were, I forget how many thousands of people living in the United States of America that identified themselves as vampires. We're embracing evil today. It goes on to tell us about Job here in the first chapter, that it says that Satan appeared before God and God asked him, he says, have you considered my servant Job? And he says, there's no one else on the earth like Job. He's a perfect man. He's a man of integrity, and he fears God, and he has turned away from evil. And the conversation goes on. The devil basically replies back to God. He says, well, you know, you built this hedge around him, and he owes everything to you. And you know, if you just let me have him for a little while, if you'd let me do a few things to him, he'd curse you. He'd turn away from you. And the devil is still saying that about people today. If I could just have him for a little while, if I could just do that, they will curse God. And we see it happening. Something goes wrong in someone's life, and the first thing they do is blame God and turn their back on God and say, why did God let this happen to me? And I got news, a lot of stuff that happens to us today, we bring it on ourselves. A lot of the problems we have, we set them up. So God said, everything he owns is in your power. Go at it. Just don't touch him. It goes on to tell us in chapter 1, in verses 13 through 19, that Job's sons and daughters were eating and drinking, and they were at their oldest brother's house. And it says, then a messenger came to Job and reported, while the oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing, the Sabians swooped down and they stole them all. And they killed your servants. And I alone escaped to come and tell you. And it says, and while he was speaking, another messenger came in and said, a lightning storm came down from heaven, and it burned up the sheep and the servants and devoured them. And I alone have escaped. And while he was speaking, another one comes in and says, the Chaldeans formed three bands and made a raid on the camels and took them away, and they struck down the servants with a sword, and I alone have escaped. Boy, this is bad news after bad news after bad news, but it gets worse. Because another comes in and says, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking in their oldest brother's house, and a powerful wind came along in from the desert, and it struck the four corners of the house, and it collapsed on them, and they all died. And I alone have escaped to tell you about it. I alone. Can you imagine? You talk about somebody having a bad day. Job was having a bad day. I mean, it seems like one thing after another happened. All of his livestock, all of the things that he owned basically were destroyed or stolen from him. His family was taken from him. You know, it's bad enough to find out that all your camels and all your donkeys and all your sheep and all this are gone, and your servants are all dead. But then to find out that your sons and your daughters are all dead as well. Did he do like a lot of people were going to do? No. In fact, it tells us in verse 21, he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will leave this life. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How many of us would do that? if some of these disasters, if even one of these disasters happened to us. But a lot of us have the opinion today that everything we've built up in life, we're taking with us. Gonna load it in the casket, bury it in the grave with us, and we're gonna have it on the other side. You know, the ancient pharaohs thought that, and today all their treasures are sitting in museums and other places around the world being enjoyed by other people, and they're not getting one benefit out of any of it. We're not going to take what we accumulate here with us. Sometimes we gain and sometimes we lose, but if we're Christians, it's still blessed be the name of the Lord, because if God is on our side, we have still won no matter what happens here. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Goes on in chapter 2 and we find that Satan appears before God one more time. And he's not too happy. God is, but he's not too happy. And he says, well, you know what? If you take that hedge down around, if you'd actually let me touch him, I'd get some results then. And so he's allowed then to do whatever he wants to do to Job, except take his life. Things have been terrible up to this point, but they're going to get worse. Sometimes we as Christians today, even non-Christians, go through periods of trial and tribulation. And sometimes you may think, can it get any worse? And sometimes it does. And you may think again, well, it surely can't get worse than this. And it does. And that was kind of what Job was going through here. God has said to Satan, you can do anything you want to him except take his life. Did you ever feel that maybe you were going through the same way Job was almost? You know? I said, God, did you tell him he could do anything to me except take my life? And sometimes we get in situations and we pray to God, God, please, take me. I can't handle any more of this. Even his wife turned against him and said, why do you still retain your integrity? Just curse God and die. Everyone had turned against him. We find in chapter 3 his friends come along, and do they give him encouragement? No, basically, boiling it down, they're saying, Job, what did you do to deserve this? Did you ever have anybody tell you that? I have. All I had was a minor fender bender. I was out driving and I changed lanes and I didn't see the other car coming up beside me, and it was my fault. I had a little fender bender there. Did a little damage to the other car, a little damage to the car I was driving. But just a few days earlier, though, I was sitting at a traffic light in downtown Los Angeles and it turned green. But that officer at the intersection held up his hand not to go, so I didn't go. But the lady behind me did, and bam, she ran into me. So in a matter of a few days' time, I was involved in two accidents. One of the young people at church, who was a little older than me, came up to me and said, what sin did you commit to have this happen to you? He was kind of like one of Job's comforters. What did you do? And we see that still happening today. Sometimes we have trials and they're completely out of our control. There is nothing we could do or have done. And somebody's going to say, well, what did you do to deserve this? Or what did you do to cause this to happen to you? You must have done something wrong. I've had that happen, as I said, and I'm sure maybe some of you have had it happen as well. What did you do wrong? In fact, we find at one point that Job does feel sorry for himself. And I'm sure sometimes when we're going through trials, we feel sorry for ourselves. And Job even, it tells us, felt so sorry for himself at one point that he said he wished he'd never been born. Did you ever have that happen to you? I wish I'd have never been born. The world would have been a better place without me. In fact, there's a movie they show at Christmas time called A Wonderful Life. And one of the things is he wishes that he'd never been born. And in the storyline of the movie, he gets shown what the world would have been like had he never been born. We have an effect on the world around us, more than most of us realize that we have. Do you know the world would be a totally different place if you had never been born? It would. For a lot of people, it would be a very different thing, very different place. Just for example, for every one of us sitting here, what if your mother had never been born? You wouldn't be here. Think about that. We go through trials. We go through tribulations. We sometimes have friends that blame us for the things that have come upon us when really it was all out of our hands. But we're told later on here in chapter 4, it says that through all these things, Job sinned not. In fact, in going on toward the end of the story of Job here in the book of Job in chapter 42, it says, "Then Job replied to the Lord, 'I know that you can do anything, and no plan of yours can be thwarted.'" God can do anything. And we need to understand and to realize God is in control. God can do what he wants to do. One of the things that's pointed out in all of this 42 chapters of Job is that Job maintained his integrity. He didn't sin in any of it. He held on to his faith in God. And in the end, it tells us, Job ended up with more than he had before. And you may look around and say, well, I've known people that went through hardships. They went through trials. They went through tribulations. And they ended up basically broken in the poorhouse. And then they died. They didn't get all of this stuff back like Job did. Well, I've got news. If they were a Christian, when they died, as we say, they got more back than they ever had then. Because as a child of God, we have a blessing. We have a reward waiting for us. I have an acquaintance. It was a friend of mine years ago, and I lost track of him probably almost 50 years ago that I lost track of him. But he was a strong believer in God. And I've probably told you about him before. His name was Ed. I'll never forget Ed. Ed was one of the people I said, if I got sick, I wanted Ed to pray for me because I knew God answered Ed's prayers. Because he prayed with that childlike faith. If God said it, Ed believed it with all his heart. Last I heard of Ed, Ed was living on Skid Row. I don't know what got him there. But I know one thing. Ed believed God. And Ed's probably gone on by now. But Ed believed God. And you know what? He may not have had anything here. But God had something for him on the other side. Because we have to hang on. And sometimes we may wonder what's going on in our life. What are we going to do now? What's happening here? How do I control this? Sometimes things are almost completely out of our control. And you feel like, what could go wrong next? You ever have those days? One little thing goes wrong and another thing goes, what in the world could go wrong next? But God's in control. And even sometimes if our life feels like we're in a shambles, God's in control. And if you're a child of God, God's in control and you are blessed. You may not feel like it at the moment, but you are blessed. If you're not a child of God and you've got these things going wrong in your life, well, I'm sorry. It's just going to get worse at some point if you're not a child of God. But if you are a child of God, you have hope. You know that someday it will get better, that someday you will reap the reward that God has in store for you, the blessings that He's laid up for you. James chapter 1, verse 12 reads in the Holman Christian Standard Bible, "A man who endures trial is blessed, because when he passes the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him." A man who endures trials is blessed. Hang in there, the Bible says. God's Word says. God has promised if we endure trials, we are blessed. If you're a child of God, you have a bright future. Because it also goes on to tell us in verse 17, "And if children, also heirs." We all know what an error is. I'm looking out over this congregation, and I don't see anybody in here that I think was heir to some vast fortune. Some of us wish we were, but it didn't happen that way, you know. And, you know, you may know and hear of people that they inherited this large sum of money. But a lot of people, when they inherit that large sum of money, they go out and waste it. It's gone. Some of them end up in the poorhouse in worse shape than we've ever been. You know, but it says that we are heirs. Well, what are we heirs of? You know, that's the important thing. We're all heirs of something. I told my kids that they're heirs to my debts. They're not too thrilled about that. You know, it doesn't make them happy. But if children, also heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, seeing that we suffer with Him so that we may also be glorified with Him. We're children of God. We're born again believers. You can run around all day and tell people you're a Christian, but unless you are a born again believer, you are not an heir. You are not a child of God. And there are a lot of people running around today saying, "I'm a Christian." They never go to church. They never pray. They never do anything that you would think a Christian should be. In fact, the one important thing they've never done is they've never asked Jesus Christ into their heart to forgive them of their sin. Because if you've never done that, I'm sorry. You can call yourself a Christian until you're blue in the face. You are not. You are not a child of God. But those who are born again are heirs. We have an inheritance waiting for us. We have a blessing waiting for us. King James Bible tells us, Jesus talking about He's going to prepare a place for us. In His Father's house are many mansions, and different translations say a little bit different things about it. One says many rooms and all this. I don't care about getting a big old mansion there that I have to live in all by myself or something. I just want to be there.
Amen. Amen.
Being there alone is a great reward. God has told me, though, He's prepared a place for me because I am His child. I ask Jesus Christ into my heart. I ask Him to forgive me of my sin. I ask Him to take control of my life, Does that mean I never fail? Yeah, sometimes I mess up big time. And so do every one of us. None of us are perfect.
No.
I know there are some people that like to think they are, but I'm sorry, we all mess up once in a while. But God has said, all you got to do is come to me and say, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry. And he forgives us. He loves us. He loves you. He loves me. He loves everyone. But they've still got to ask forgiveness of their sin. They've still got to accept what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. And when they do that, they become heirs. You know, the world's looking around right now and saying, what now? What's going to take place? There are people making predictions of all kinds of things that are going to take place in 2016. We've heard that interest rates are going to go up, and most likely they will. We've enjoyed lower gas prices, but they're probably going to go up in the not-too-distant future. In fact, it could even happen next week because some of the refineries are being threatened by some of the flooding. Things like that could happen. What now? What's going to happen now? We don't necessarily know. But as a child of God, I know that I'm in His hands. He's in control, and He's in charge of my life, and He'll be there for me. As they say, He's got my back. He's going to take care of me. And even though you may go through some of the darkest moments your life would ever face, He's still there. I hope and pray for all of us that we have a bright and rosy future in 2016. I don't want any of you to have to go through trials or tribulations, but it could happen. And I want you to know God's there for you. And as I think my wife was just saying, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Maybe she didn't say that. I don't know, but she raised her hands up. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. That's what we all should be talking about, you know. So I'm ready. If He doesn't come, I'm still ready. Because let's face it, even if He doesn't make His physical return, we could still go on, any one of us. Could happen. You say, that's a gloomy thought. Well, it could happen. Let's face it. Let's be honest. It could happen. But we need to love the Lord. And yeah, we may go through some things like Job, and the devil may be up there telling God, well, if you just let me do this or that to them, they'll turn your back on you and they'll run to my side. Because let's face it, the world is saying, come over to the dark side. Come over to the side of evil. I saw a t-shirt the other day, and I'm not going to say who was wearing the t-shirt, but it said, come to the dark side. We have cookies. You know, and the devil's enticing that way. Come over to my side. I've got this. I've got that. And the world is falling for it. Father, today I ask you as we close this message, Father, that it would touch lives. Father, if there's anyone listening to this message by CD or by the internet, I pray, Father, that if they don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to their heart. And Father, right now, in the first few days of 2016, Father, they would give their heart and life to Jesus Christ. And they would be prepared for whatever happens, for whatever takes place. Because they would have assurance in their heart that you are on their side and that you love them and that you care about them. I thank you, Father, for all these things. We've asked it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's house. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us. Or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.